Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We are blessed and thankful that you have chosen to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ here with us this morning. As we open up this time of praise and worship, if you would, please bow your heads and your hearts and let us open up with a word of prayer here today. Gracious God and coming King, we pause to recognize that you and you alone are God. You are the one who was and is yet to come. Precious Jesus, we wonder who we are, that you are mindful of us, and yet the indescribable, incredible, the unfathomable love that you have for all of us, Jesus, that is why we gather. We gather to praise you, to exalt your holy name, to extol your goodness, and to uplift your righteousness, to proclaim your coming King, our Savior Jesus. And so, Father, as we gather to praise and worship you, we invite you into this presence, into our presence, and above all, may you be finding everything that is said and everything that is done to be glorifying in your sight. We commit this time of praise and worship into your care. May you bless yourself through it, and we'll thank you for what you'll do by it, in it, and for it. We bless you now, and we lift this to you in the risen name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today, amen. As we stand and get ready to praise our Lord, let's turn to our neighbor and say, I am so glad you're here today.
I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Say yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. We say yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. Pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. I am blessed beyond the curse, for the promise will endure. That is just gonna be my strength. Though the sorrow may last for the night, his joy comes in the morning. Yeah, I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. We say yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. We say yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. We say yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen to that. No matter what we're going through, we can just have that little talk with Jesus, and he's going to see us through it.
Now let us
Have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our famous cry. He will answer by and by. Now when you feel the prayer will turn, and then you know a little fire is burning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Then a little light from heaven filled my soul. He bathed my heart in love, and he wrote my name above. Just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Now when you feel the prayer will turn, and you know the fire's burning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I once was lost in fears, my eyes were filled with tears. Jesus, a friend who watched me day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer will turn, and you know a little fire's burning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer will turn, and you know a little fire's burning, we'll find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, allow us to lay everything to you. Allow us to understand that you want that relationship with us, Lord. All we have to do is ask, and we can ask through prayer, Lord. We can give everything to you. You can take care of every single thing. And we can know and feel good that you're doing that through faith. What a friend we have in Jesus. Lord, let us remember that. Lord, we ask a special blessing over everyone that's here, and those that couldn't be here in this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. All our privilege to everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not care. Everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? Discouraged, take it to the Lord. Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Covered with a load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a soul is there. Sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not care.
As we bow our heads, Lord, Heavenly Father, as we come before you, allow us to hear the words of that song. Let them resonate into our soul, Father, because there isn't nothing you won't do for us. Let us take everything to you in prayer, because you know a lot of times we do often forfeit the peace that you would like us to have. Allow us to think bigger than that, Lord. Allow us to give everything to you and allow that faith to resonate through us, knowing that you're taking care of it all. Lord, if there's anybody here today that needs you, allow them to find you, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in this church and what you will do, Lord. Father, we ask a special blessing over the church and everyone here and the message today. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Before we continue this time of praise and worship here this morning, as we are individuals of prayer, and as you are being led to take everything to God in prayer, friends, if you'll notice in your bulletin, a bulletin insert, this is one of the ways that we can utilize how we can lift one another up in prayer, and we can truly be people of prayer. And so if you'll notice the directions of what the prayer and praises list or sheet, what it is, who can be a part, you can read through that. And then if you'll turn it over, you will notice with me, we already have a list started. But friends, not only do we want to be people of prayer, but we also want to be people who bring God praise. And this morning we have a special praise. This Thursday, there's an individual in our congregation who will be celebrating his 90th birthday. And so Howard Brown, we want to wish you a happy birthday coming up this week. Happy birthday, Howard. It is for those things. That's why this sheet is here. That's why we're doing what we're doing. And I really think it would be appropriate if we would sing Howard Happy Birthday. You know, so if you would lead us there, Mike, go for it.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Howard. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Howard. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. Happy birthday. The birthday song was my idea, but Marianne asked me to mention that, so I just wanted, you know, she said that she might get in trouble after, so just to put things in perspective there for you guys, so, but no, happy birthday. This is what this is for, friends. It's for not only those prayer requests, but also those praises, and we have so much to be thankful for, so much to praise God for as well. And I'm going to invite John Odermott, who is our treasurer, to come forward. And friends, God has been doing some amazing things here at Trinity, and he is going to share and give us an update about our mortgage here. And friends, it's just nothing short of incredible and amazing. So, John, if you would.
There you go. Good morning, everyone. So back in May, I provided an update on how much we had left of our original $180,000 loan that we took out to renovate the sanctuary, upgrade the electrical, put in air conditioning, and along with some other things. So back then we had $110,775. So as of yesterday, that balance is down to $75,226. So, which is just awesome when you think about it. We've paid over $35,000 down on the loan in just a few months. And along with that, we still have $15,500 in cash on hand dedicated to the building fund, as well as $9,000 in stocks dedicated to the building fund. So Max just wanted me to provide an update, so just that's just awesome. And so that's where we're at currently.
Thank you, John. So if my math is correct, in a little bit, like 9 months, $35,000 has come off of the principal, and with what we have set aside, earmarked for the building fund, if we were to pay that today, we would be down to roughly around $50,000. So we went from $110,000 to $50,000. You know, and praise God, right? Praise God. I do want to challenge us, though, as we continue to make the effort and the focus to get this mortgage paid off. Today, we're having a meeting for anyone interested in those working with those youth, 7th grade through 12th grade. We'll be meeting in the parlor after, just to keep in mind. My challenge several months ago was this, is that mortgages will hamstring an individual or a company or an organization. And so that's why the effort is here. There's a great need here in Gibsonburg for the kids. If you're ever springtime or sometime, you know, go over to Williams Park, you see kids everywhere. There's oodles and oodles of youth. And so my hope and my vision, I could stand up here and share with you the visions that I have, you know, to reach out to these different groups of people here in Gibsonburg. But friends, unless the mortgage is paid off, we won't have the resources to allocate towards that. And so that's why the focus, that's why the effort, that's why the intentional, you know, directive is being going on to pay this mortgage down. We've come a long way, and praise God. Amen?
Amen.
And God's going to carry us the rest of the way. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. All right. As we enter into the season of Lent, the last couple weeks you've heard me talk about sacrificially parking. And you have this other bulletin insert in here. And if you're visiting with us, I am not talking to you right now. If you need to park close to the church, I am not talking to you either. I'm talking to those of us who are willing to walk, those of us who are willing to sacrifice for the benefit and the blessings of those other individuals who need to park close. And I notice that several of you individuals have already taken up on that challenge. And I say a sincere and heartfelt thank you to you all. I personally parked down at the bank. Lent is a time and it's a season where we take away a convenience. For some people, it's not getting on Facebook. It's not tweeting. It's not eating chocolate. For some other people, it's not drinking coffee. For some people, it can be anything. It can be fasting on a Friday. And so I'm just giving you one example as we seek to draw closer to Jesus Christ in this Lenten season. May we begin to think about our Lord and Savior Jesus more than we think about our creaturely comforts. And I invite anyone who is able to walk and would like to join me. And I truly, over the last 3.5 years, have truly, truly, truly enjoyed the walk, you know, down the alley. It's a blessing every Sunday morning. Some Sundays I'll hear the birds in the trees. Some Sundays I'll see, you know, cats and dogs. And it's just an awesome thing. It sounds goofy, but it's wonderful. It brings you closer to Jesus. It prepares your mind. It prepares your heart for why we're here. And we're here to praise God, to lift up glorifying praises to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so keep that in mind. Also, if you would like to, with the death of Antonin Scalia, I would request that this coming week we pray for our government. So as we seek to eliminate something in our life that is a benefit, is a convenience, let's add something. And let's pray for President Obama. Let's pray for our local governments. Let's pray for our county governments. Let's pray for our state governments. And let's list them on this sheet as these changes are taking place. And let's put it on our fridge. And every day, may we offer a quick prayer. Lord, may you change the hearts. May you move in the hearts of those individuals that are governing. May they yield the resources, the power in a righteous and holy way. Friends, this is how we can draw close to the Lord Jesus Christ each day.
What happens when we run out of parking at the bank?
If Lord willing, you know, as you look around, you can see what God's doing here. You can see what he's doing. This is a wonderful thing. These are the types of problems we want to have, Lindsay. These are, you know, and then you can look around and I can identify several lots of people that aren't here that normally are here. And think, okay, yeah, that's a great question. Maybe I'll have to start riding my bike. I don't know. I'm good with it. I could walk. Yes, I'm good with that. We will cross that bridge when we come to it. But God is doing wonderful things here at Trinity, and it's a blessing just to see what God is doing, not only with the mortgage, but also with all of us here. And we do care about every single one of them. And that's why when Marianne said, I wanted to mention Howard's birthday.
We got another
one
coming next one.
Yes, I'm aware of that one as well. Yes, 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 absolutely. And absolutely. So, but keep in mind, after the service today, we will be having a youth group meeting for anyone interested in working with the 7th through 12th grade students. You can see everything about the Easter extravaganza that is a community outreach that is coming up there. And then the Bible studies, and this is the last announcement that I want to highlight here. Coming up on March the 13th, which is only a couple weeks away, we're going to have a baptismal service here. And we have arrangements that are in the works, and Lord willing, we're going to have the baptisms right in the fellowship hall. And so if you would like to be baptized, please see me. We would love to include anyone. We have 5 or 6 individuals right now, and anyone else that would like to be a part of that service, please see me. As we continue this time of worship with the giving of our tithes and offerings, before we get to that, I'm going to read the scripture. But the children's church is now dismissed. For those in kindergarten through 5th grade, and for the rest of us, as we prepare our hearts to listen to a reading from the Gospel of Matthew, this scripture is found on page 1,505 in your pew Bible. We'll be reading out of the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 11. So follow along as we hear a reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For the same way
way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under your feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks will receive, and he who seeks will find, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? May God bless the reading of his word. Now, as we continue this time of praise and worship with the giving of our tithes and offerings, if the ushers would please come, may we all give back a portion of what God has blessed us with.
Eternal, ever-loving Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you for all the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. Father, we place on your altar this morning a part of those blessings, our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. I'm going to get this out of the way now. This is what happens when you make a bet with your brother on the Super Bowl. So laugh now. Get it all out of your system. Okay. We're all good? Okay. So I do have a quick story here. When I was younger in high school, and I realized for me that's not too long ago, I would always have like a friend that always trying to reassure me. Like whenever I was sick or if I was dealing with something, just struggling with something in general, they would reassure me just by telling me, hey, I'm looking out for you. I'm praying for you. Now, I used to think that this was like a passive thing or it was like an ineffective thing. They're like, why? That's not going to do anything for me. And I was still a Christian at the time, and I struggled with that. And I had a few reasons why. See, first, I thought that person wasn't even actually going to do it. I didn't think like they were serious when they said, I'm praying for you. I didn't believe them. And secondly, I didn't think that the power of prayer was true. I didn't understand it, and I didn't want to even begin to. Now, in his book, The Circle Maker by Mark Batterson, he tells the story of Honi, who was a first century Jewish sage. And this man had quite a reputation for prayer. And see, this was at Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was experiencing a drought that basically was going to destroy the whole city. And Honi, he knew what God wanted. He knew that all he had to do was pray. And he was very famous for his praying for rain. Now, it's been nearly 400 years since the last prophets at this time. And miracles and those gifts of prayer were basically a thing of the past, and people didn't really believe in them. So Honi went out. He went out, and he started to pray. He went out in the open, outside, and he began to walk in a circle, drawing a circle in the sand. And after doing so, he stood in this circle. He prayed aloud, calling out God's name, saying, Lord of the universe, I swear before your great name that I will not move from this circle until you have shown mercy upon your children. Now, at first it started to sprinkle, just a little bit of rain. Everyone is ecstatic, excited. It hasn't rained in such a long time. Can you imagine just that, just a little bit coming down and people were cheering? But see, this wasn't enough for Honi. No, he began praying aloud again, and he said, not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain that will fill cisterns, pits, and caverns. See, at this time, the floodgates were open, quite literally, because then the rain came down, like a rain you've never seen. Some reports actually claim that there was raindrops the size of eggs. Can you believe that? Rain just coming down that much, and they haven't seen rain in just such a long time. See, it rained so much that some even fled on top of the mountain. Some people ran from the rain because it was that bad, but not Honi. He stayed in his circle. He didn't move from that spot. And then he cried aloud again. He said, "Not for such rain have I prayed, but for the rain of your favor, blessing, and graciousness." See, after this, the rain settled. It was a light rain. It was very calm. And this was a rain that soaked the land, that soaked the people. And what I mean is it soaked their faith. They saw this rain, and they knew God was real. And they saw the power of prayer from Honi. When I'm thinking about Honi, I think about the strength that he had. You know, this prayer that he gave, it wasn't a mumble. And I know, it wasn't a doubtful asking for God's blessing. It was powerful. He had that confidence to pray. See, this man, he put his entire reputation, he put his life on the line in this moment. Why? Because he knew God was going to come through. He gave everything he had, and all that God asked. And all that God asked was his faith that God was able to fulfill that promise of rain. Now, what we need to do is we need to pray like Honi. We need to have that confidence. We should try to mimic Honi. And why should we mimic him? Because God is no different then with Honi than he is with us today. We have that ability to pray for that rain. We have the ability to end the drought. We just have to ask. We need to be willing to pray for those God-sized things. We don't want to wake up just saying, "Hey, God, I hope I have a good day today." No, God doesn't want that. And the reason God doesn't want that is because he wants to fulfill the big promises. And I know this is true because the bigger promises God can fulfill, the more glory he can potentially receive. I mean, think about it. It's a simple equation. The more God does for us, the more that we will talk about him, the more that we will tell other people the great things he has done in our lives. And by this, that will strengthen his kingdom. It will grow the world of Christ. And when we finally get up and pray for the big things, we have to keep praying. We can't just do it once. It has to be a consistent and constant thing. We should always be in prayer. And obviously, you can't constantly be praying because you're not going to get anything done. But you need to have that mindset of prayer. It should always be a prayerful attitude that you basically exude out of your system, that everyone can see, like, hey, there's something going on with that person. It's because you should be focused on what you're praying about. Now, I want to tell you a little story about me. See, this past year has actually been a couple of Honi-like experiences that basically got to me to where I was am today. A few years ago, I went to college, and I will admit that I had a tough time. I couldn't cut it. I had to drop out, basically, and took some time off. In that time off, I struggled a lot with fear and anxiety. I never thought that I could do it. I never thought that I could get through college, because college to me was this unsurmountable task that I just pushed away. I was scared to do it, and I didn't really think anything could even get me through it. But I had a conversation with an individual who basically led me to God, who made me see what I needed to do. And through that, God showed me a path that I needed to take. And that path was this path that I'm on right now and where I'm going now. And that's through ministry. And God showed me the light. God showed me where I needed to be. And because of that, I've been praying every day because of that. I've been praying to get through college. And now here I am, my second year back at BG. And I realize that the job isn't done yet. See, I have to keep praying. Because college for me is my praying big. That's my dreaming big. It's something that for me, I have to be focused on every day because that I know is my big dream. I want to read a little bit about that passage that Max read from Matthew 7. This is verses 7 through 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? See, this passage, Jesus is telling us about seeking, asking, and knocking. Our prayer life with God needs to be constant. We should be consistently seeking him out, always looking for where he's at. And we shouldn't give up after the first few times of praying just because, you know, we didn't feel it. We shouldn't give up because what we've got going on here, this thing that we call Christian life, it really depends on our faith. It depends on believing that God can get us through it. And I want to look at verse 8 just alone. For everyone who asks, receive. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Don't hear me wrong. This isn't just supposed to be like a health and wealth gospel or sermon. No, it's supposed to be this thing that we're supposed to be constantly seeking. You know, sometimes we will keep knocking. We will keep pleading for that door to open, only to find out that God's actually going to shut it in our face. It's happened to me. See, the reason he shuts it in our face is because he knows that's not the right door for us. He knows that there's something else later on that we need to find. And when we do find it, we need to praise God. We need to thank God for not letting us in that other door and for opening this one, because this is the true door. We'll look at verse later on in the passage, verse 9 and 10. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Do you realize what that's saying? Like, how many of you are parents? How many of you are children? You know that your parents love you, and you know that you love your children. And you will never want to see them without. You never want to see them struggling. I know, because I have a mother and father I know care about me. I know they never want to see me struggling. And we're mortals. Think about God. He doesn't want to see you in the same situation. He wants to give you all that he can. But the thing is, you have to be willing to ask. You have to be like willing to look for the right door. And it can't be a vague asking either. Mark Bastian talks about a quote where he says, God doesn't answer vague prayers. He doesn't. We need to specify what we want. We need to ask for the proper things. God wants us to have a good life, but we have to know what that life should be. He's not going to give us things we're not ready for. Just yesterday I had a conversation with Max and other people. He asked, what's the worst thing a person can have happen to them? And the answer was, for that individual to succeed before they're ready. So God wants us to be ready for his blessing. He wants us to be able to know what we should ask for so then he can give it to us. Because a lot of times, we aren't ready for his blessing yet. We read in 1 Thessalonians how we're supposed to convey a prayerful attitude. This is out of 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. See, when we pray, we shouldn't fluctuate. And what I mean is our attitude shouldn't change because of the circumstance. Our attitude and our mood shouldn't change because we're struggling with something, and our prayer shouldn't change because we're struggling with something too. There is no excuse to prayer. Just because you're having a bad day doesn't mean you can get out of needing to pray. We have to maintain a certain attitude that's constant, a certain attitude that is always looking for God, that's always praying. See, something else I struggled with was a certain type of migraine. And for the longest time, it was the center of my life because I would wake up every day worrying about having another attack. And there are a subset of migraines called cluster headaches. And what they would do to me would cause me such intense pain that I would just be completely debilitated. Like, I couldn't function on a normal level. And a lot of times I would get angry. I would get angry at people. I would get angry at God even. And for me, that's tough to admit. You shouldn't be angry at God. But that's something that I really struggled with. And I went through lots of different neurologists. I went through, like, I don't know how many different types of medicines. Couldn't find anything that worked. Then I started going to a chiropractor. He helped for a little bit, but he could only reduce the pain. The attacks were still coming. It was still happening, and I just didn't want to continue. I didn't want to keep waking up worrying about having another attack. But I had a conversation with someone. They told me that I need to thank God. I need to thank God for the healing before it came. We need to be, like, constantly praising God. See, if we're not praising Him, we're not believing what He can actually do. And someone told me, like, you have to be willing to submit yourself to what God can do for you and believe that He will actually do it. And to tell you the truth, it's been roughly 6 months since I've had an attack because I started praying. I started saying, thank you, God, for getting me through this. I started saying, thank you, God, for your healing hands. Thank you for everything you're doing in my life right now. Mark Batterson also talks about this praise through it concept. He uses the story of Jericho. And in that story, when they first came to Jericho, God didn't say, I'm going to deliver this city to you. He said, I delivered it to you, meaning past tense, meaning it's already been done. Just listen to me. Follow me. We need to be able to do that. We need to be able to pray for the right things and pray for the big things. Why don't we pray for those big things? See, I believe there is kind of a small reason here. I think part of it is because we're scared. We're scared to see what God can actually do. And I think some of us are scared to see what God can do because we know we'll have to do something else in turn. And I think because of this, we're actually guilty of being lazy. I know I'm lazy because of that. You know, I don't know about you, but I really think conviction can be a good thing because it has a way of humbling us. Now, whether I'm at work, at school, or just out and about, I hear people complaining about, you know, certain, like, social issues. People complaining about individuals on governmental assistance programs. Now, I only say this to ask you all this. Are you abusing God's assistance program? Are you merely living off of His word? See, God doesn't just want us to exist. He wants us to thrive. He wants us to use the things that He's going to give us properly. Are you using God's gifts that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12? Are you using everything He has given you? If you're like me, I've come up short with this. I haven't spent every day in devotion with God. I haven't spent every day in His Word. I haven't spent every day dutifully serving Him. But the truth is, I know I'm getting better. And I'm getting better because I'm praying. I'm getting better because I have that focus. I have what I want before me, and I know what to ask for. Now, one thing we got going on in our church right now is the mortgage. Are we praying for that? Are you specifically naming that in prayer? I don't understand really, I have a limited grasp on the financial world of things, but I have a better grasp on the spiritual world. I feel that we need to be focused on this aspect of our church. We're all a family here. The mortgage is a big thing. So what we need to do is circle our church in prayer. Circle the mortgage in prayer. Be constantly praying for that every day. Not just like a vague prayer, but naming it. And I'm just going to end in saying this. What you have to do in life is you have to find your focus. You have to dream big and pray big. And when you find that focus, you need to circle that in prayer. And while you're circling it in prayer, you need to be willing to praise through it and thank God every day that he's going to get you through it. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come before you to say thank you. Thank you for all you're going to do in our lives, and thank you for all that you've given us. We ask that you open our minds, open our hearts so that we are able to dream big, so that we can see what needs to be seen, so we can focus on the truth, so we can find something in our lives and use everything you've given us how you want it. We pray for this church. We pray for everything that everyone's going through. We pray that we find the money. We pray that the mortgage is, and we find that way to get through it. Pray for all the individuals here, everyone that's struggling with, has marital problems or anything else that they're struggling with health-wise. And we lift this up in Jesus Christ's heavenly name. Amen.
Just know these altars are open if you do want to say a prayer today for the Lord or if you need anything. Because as we do pray, we can pray for big things. If you need the Lord or you don't know the Lord or need anything from him, please know these altars are open for you. And expect big things to happen.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art thy. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, all life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
close here this morning, we all have areas of our life that we need rain. We need God's blessing and we need God's provision in certain areas of our life. And so I invite you, as Nick has challenged us here this morning, to join with us, to pray big, to look to a big God who is willing to answer in big and mighty ways. Do that personally. Do it for our country. Do it for our church. Do it for our community. However God leads, may He find you and me praying big prayers as Nick challenged us to pray. And may a big God be standing and ready, because friends, He is, and willing to answer those big prayers. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I depart in peace. In the name of the risen Christ, we pray. Amen.